Go to Genesis 41 this morning, Genesis 41, and we're going to read three verses, 50 through 52 is our text today. Genesis 41, 50 through 52. We'll jump into the message as soon as we have the special following the scripture reading, all right? Genesis 41, verses 50, 51, and 52. Passage of scripture we've been in before. I don't recall if we were ever there on a Sunday morning. It's more of a, I don't have any stories, illustrations. A lot of times you do that, you have that type of thing in a message. I don't really have any of that type of thing today. What I have is a Bible study, but I won't teach through it. I'll preach through it. But keep your Bible open to this passage because I want you to take note of these verses, especially as we read them and preach from them today. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. Please read verse 51 with me as I read 50 and 52. And unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes to the passage of Scripture before us this morning. And then, Lord, it'll be up to us to open our hearts to receive it or not. And I know that that work, all Lord, begins with your Spirit working on us, and then we respond to His working. And I pray that we do that today, that we open our heart to what your Spirit has for us. I pray that you'll bless the song. Lord, I pray there'll be a blessing to our hearts. And then, Lord, as we settle into your word, speak to our hearts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Do you have a heavy burden and sadness deep within? He can take away the darkness caused by the guilt of sin. Jesus is the one who can take away your sorrow, lead you from a load of sin. Jesus is the one who can make it right tomorrow, give you joy and peace within. Jesus is the one, won't you taste his precious healing? Heaven can be yours today. So put your faith and trust in him, for Jesus is the only way. Someday in the clouds of glory, we'll see him face to face. We will praise the one who saved us and suffered in our place. Jesus is the one who can take away your sorrow, lead you from a load of sin. Jesus is the one who can make it right tomorrow, give you joy and peace within. Jesus is the one, won't you taste his precious healing? Heaven can be yours today. So put your faith and trust in him, for Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the one who can take away your sorrow, lead you from a load of sin. Jesus is the one who can make a bright tomorrow, give you joy and peace within. Jesus is the one, won't you taste his precious healing? Heaven can be yours today. So put your faith and trust in him, for Jesus is the only way.
Here we go, testing. There we are. We're on. Enjoyed the good song this morning, folks. God bless you for the practice time you put in and making a blessing for us. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, prerequisites to fruitfulness. Prerequisites to fruitfness. I'll be able to say prerequisites too many times throughout the course of the message, all right? So get it now while you can. It means something that comes before fruitfulness, all right? There's something that must happen before fruitfulness sets in. So I want to preach on that subject today, prerequisites to fruitfulness. You ladies in the back of the auditorium, please sit down over there, please. Oh, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Oh, that's my wife. And I didn't mean. I was having fun. Amen. You should have seen the look on your face. Oh, my goodness. All right. I knew who it was. I just had to be ornery this morning. All right. So, amen. All right. I shouldn't be ornery before I preach, though. All right. So, need the Lord to bless me. Amen. All right. Let's pray. They'll find a seat while we pray. Okay. Thank you, dear Lord, for your blessings. We love you. We thank you for a beautiful Sunday. And, Lord, thank you that we can laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Thank you for the beautiful music about Jesus today. My, oh, my. We thank you for all the good singing, good fellowship. I pray for the spirit of liberty during the message. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. And amen. Prerequisites to fruitfulness. This passage of our Bible finds Joseph still in the land of Egypt, but living under much different circumstances than before. Living under much different circumstances than before. Things have changed drastically for Joseph. It used to be he lived as a servant in Potiphar's house. Then he was a prisoner on death row, but now he is second in command to Pharaoh at the palace. So you go from a servant in Potiphar's house to second in command in Pharaoh's palace. This all happened because, and I quote to you, God was with him. And amen, that's the truth. Now, the specific event that catapulted him to second in command was the interpreting of Pharaoh's dreams. I'm not going to go through those dreams this morning. Don't have time for that. I think you're probably familiar with the dreams about the ears of corn and the cattle and so forth and so on. He interpreted those dreams, and things really, really started going well for Joseph after that. It took 2 years. It took 2 years after the interpretation. But they really started picking up after that. He had Pharaoh's ring, which was a symbol of his power and authority in the land. He had fine clothing. He had golden jewels. He rode in the second chariot in the procession of authority through the kingdom of Egypt. And the people would bow the knee to Joseph like they would Pharaoh, who rode in the first chariot. He was given a wife. He ruled the land. Approximately 35 years of age. Mid-30s right now when we get to Joseph's life, okay? He was 30 years of age when he stood before Pharaoh to interpret the dreams. And then the two boys were born to him during the next 7 years. So he's probably 35, 36, 37 years of age. Now that's young, folks. Amen. 36, 37 years of age. He's right here, 36, at the mid-30s. And all of this right now is going tremendous for him. Now, God gives Joseph a wife. And gives him and his wife two sons. You see it in verse number 51. He named the firstborn child Manasseh. He named the secondborn child in verse 52 Ephraim. Now listen carefully. The names were not chosen randomly out of a hat. Okay? They weren't just, well, I don't know what we'll name them. Let's just, what do you think about it? Let's do it. No. The names were not chosen randomly. Joseph named these boys on purpose. He named Manasseh on purpose. And he named Ephraim on purpose. According to verse number 51, Manasseh, the word, the name, means forgetting. If you'd like to mark in your Bible, you could circle the name Manasseh and write out in the margin, forgetting. That's what Manasseh means. In verse number 52, he named that second boy Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitful. So he named Manasseh, forgetting, his firstborn son. He named his secondborn son Fruitful. And these were not just random names. These names were reflective of Joseph's own life. He decided on names for his boys that were testimonies to his years in Egypt and even before Egypt. So he named one of those boys Forgetting, and he named one of those boys Fruitful. Now, those names teach you and me a great lesson for our lives, specifically about prerequisites for fruitfulness. Prerequisites for fruitfulness. Let's look at them one by one here. Number one, let's start with the youngest son's name, Ephraim, which means fruitful. You see that in verse number 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, friend, fruitful is a word that describes how all of us would like to live. Can I get an amen on that? We'd like to live fruitful. Okay. Now, define it however you want it. Fruitfulness, blessed, victorious. When I think of fruitfulness, I think of running over. We're coming to the time of the year when the harvest season, and in fact, it's about over, and the cornucopia, if you will, okay? And the pumpkins, and the gourds, and the corn. And I think of fruitfulness. I think of a large, Marion Avenue has its Horn of Plenty Sunday, and they erect a humongous 20-foot-long cornucopia. It's probably, 8 feet at the mouth, and they fill it with fruits and vegetables pouring out of it there in the auditorium. It's a beautiful sight to behold. And that's what I think of when I think of fruitful. I think of a cornucopia of fruit and vegetables pouring over, running over. Fruitfulness. That's what I think of. And we'd like to be fruitful in every area of our life. We'd like to be fruitful in marriage. We'd like to be fruitful in family. We'd like to be fruitful in our job. We'd like to be fruitful in our church service for the Lord. We'd like to be fruitful in our extended family. We'd like to be fruitful with our friends. I mean blessed. I mean running over. I mean full. I'm talking about victorious. We'd like to be running over in all of those areas. And the truth of the matter is, we can be. I said, we can be. And this is no self, pull yourself up by your bootstraps type, Joel Osteen, big smile, cotton candy message. You know, God, something good's about to happen to you. I'm talking about based on the principles of the Word of God that I'll show you this morning. Everybody can be fruitful. Now, fruitful. I want you to look at these. Look at two specifics about Joseph's fruitfulness. Look at verse 52. I want you to see, first of all, the provider of his fruitfulness. The provider of his fruitfulness in verse 52. For God hath caused me to be fruitful. You see, Joseph had God's touch on his life. His fruitfulness did not come about by his own making. He didn't purchase blessings. And friend, you say, I don't know how I could ever live a fulfilled life, a fruitful life. I don't have enough money hardly to pay the bills. We're not talking about money here. We're not talking about things that money can buy. Okay? We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about other areas in life. And God had caused Joseph to be fruitful. He didn't purchase these blessings. God had touched his life. And the great thing about this is, God loves you and God loves me no less than he loved Joseph. No less. And he wants us to be fruitful just like he did this man, Joseph. God is not a person of partiality. No, he's not. God is not a respecter of persons. Hey, let me ask you folks with multiple children in your home. I mean, if you've got one child, of course you want that child to be blessed. But let's say you got two. Let's say you got four. Let's say you got six or eight or, as in some cases, 10 or 13 or whatever it is. There's absolutely no partiality. There's no respecter of those children. You want each individual child to be blessed, to be full, to be happy, to have a fruitful life. And God is no different than an earthly parent. Would you say amen? God is no different than an earthly parent. Absolutely not. In fact, if God wants those things, if we want those things for our children, given our own wicked sin nature, how much more does God want for us? Huh? And that's what I'm talking about this morning, being fruitful. And friend, there are blessings that can be enjoyed, and we must understand that those blessings that we're enjoying now, the source of those blessings is God. I love James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I said, God is the provider of blessing. Aren't you glad God is the provider of blessing, not your employer? Amen. Aren't you glad God is the provider of blessings and not the U.S. government or the city of Chicago government? Huh? Aren't you glad God takes care of all that business? Amen. Okay? He is the provider of blessings. The provider of fruitfulness is God. The provider of Joseph's fruitfulness was God. Now, number two, about his fruitfulness, I want you to see the place of his fruitfulness in verse number 52. The place of it. He says, for God hath caused me to be fruitful. Now, look at these next words. In the land of my affliction. Joseph was fruitful right where he was. You say, why is that significant? Well, let me ask you a question. Where was he? He was in Egypt. That was not his home. He was away from his home. He was away from his daddy. He was away from his mother, who was already dead by this time. He was away from his family. He was away from his boyhood friends. He was away from his country. And yet where he was, God made him fruitful. Now, friend, I want to tell you something. Serve a little notice this morning. Joseph could have been the most bitter, unhappy, ugly man, harboring hatred and anger in his heart at many different people. Many different people. He could have been mad and angry at God. His mother died when his brother was born, Benjamin. He could have been mad at God for that. He could have been mad at his dad. He could have been mad at his brothers. He could have been mad at Potiphar. He could have been mad and angry at Potiphar's wife. He could have been mad at Pharaoh's butler. After Joseph comforted his heart with the interpretation of the dream in prison, he said to the butler, he said, "Now look, don't forget me when you stand before Pharaoh. Tell him who interpreted the dreams. Would you do that?" And the butler, "Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll never forget you." And didn't mention him for 2 years. 2 years. Got wrapped up in his own life and his own work again and happy about being restored to his job. And he didn't mention Joseph for 2 years. You know, his mom died when his youngest brother was born. His brothers hated him, wanted to kill him, sold him for 20 pieces of silver to a bunch of traveling merchant men, nomads. He probably, did you ever think about this fact? He probably wondered why his dad didn't come to get him. He didn't know that his brothers had lied to his dad. Remember what they did? They took his coat. They killed the animal. They dipped his coat in the blood. They ripped it up. And they took that ripped up, blood-stained coat back to Joseph's dad and said, "Dad, it must be that a beast has jumped on Joseph and killed him and eaten him alive." Now, Joseph didn't know that. So all the time he's wondering, "Where's Dad? Why hasn't Dad come to rescue me?" He probably wondered about that. Then he was lied about by Potiphar's wife, falsely accused. Let me tell you something, friend. He didn't stand a chance as a slave, a Hebrew slave, versus Potiphar's wife. He didn't stand a chance. His goose was cooked. Not a chance in this world. Emotionally, he could have been bitter. Mentally, he could have been just full of hatred. He was forgotten by the butler, disappointed expectations. Do you know what Joseph had accumulated in his lifetime? He had accumulated a bag full of bad stuff. A big bag full. Brother Caleb, help me this morning, if you would. A bag full of bad stuff. I mean, you just start writing it down sometime. Make your own little list. His mom died when he was a boy, during youngest brother's birth. His brothers hated him, tried to kill him, sold him as a slave and a merchant man. And daddy was lied about to him. And over his life, Pharaoh, Potiphar's wife, and down in the prison, and forgotten by the butler. And you know what happened to Joseph over that period of years? He accumulated a bag full of bad stuff. I'm not sure much of that was his own fault. I would say the majority of that was not his fault. Would you say that? Huh? The majority of it? Now look, folks, I am very positive, and I know for sure, that people in this room have bagfuls of bad stuff. Bagfuls. Now, I'm not sure that your bag is as big as Joseph's. I'm not sure. But they are bagfuls of bad stuff. And you're like Joseph. Not all of it can be blamed on you. In fact, maybe most of what's happened is not even, they can't blame it on you. But it has fallen out to you. It's your life. It's in your bag. It is the land of your affliction. It's the land of your affliction. And you think to yourself, "I can never be fruitful." That is not true. I'm telling you, you can be fruitful. God can make you fruitful where you are in the land of your affliction, just like He did Joseph. Yes, He can. Now, but what are you going to do? You got a bag full of bad stuff. There is a step that must be taken before you can become fruitful. There is a birth that must take place before fruitfulness can be birthed in your life. Isn't that your heart's desire? Sure it is. I hope you're not going through your Christian life just, I don't care what happens to me, just so I can make enough money to pay the bills, and when it's over, it's over. I hope you're not like that, friend. I hope you want God's touch on your life. I hope you want God's blessing on your life. And, you know, and there's a birth. Before you can birth fruitfulness in your life, you're going to have to give birth to something else. It's a prerequisite to fruitfulness. Look at the verse 51. Look at this firstborn son. That's Ephraim. The secondborn son means fruitful. But let's look at this firstborn son, Manasseh, in verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. What does Manasseh mean? It means forgetting. Forgetting. Manasseh was born before Ephraim. That means forgetting came before fruitful. Forgetfulness came before fruitfulness. Before Joseph could give birth to fruitfulness, he had to give birth to forgetfulness. He had to do something with that bag of bad stuff. Now, what was Joseph specifically? What had he specifically forgotten? Look at verse number 51 here. Look at what he said. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil. You can circle that word toil, and you can write out in the margin of your Bible, misery, sorrow, travail, trouble, the weariness, the wounded heart. Huh? I'm talking about all the toil. All those circumstances that had caused him misery. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a bunch of the stuff that's in his bag. Look, folks, by the time he was 25 years of age, he had a whole lot of stuff in this bag already. By the time he was 25. There are some teenagers here, 18 years of age. Maybe some college-age young people, 21, 22. There's some younger junior high kids here. There's some elementary school kids in our own school who already have bad stuff in their bag. And it's not their fault. Little children who are carrying this morning or have the potential to carry a bag of bad stuff. He's fallen out in the land of affliction. Miserable circumstances. Miserable circumstances. All the toil, he said. God hath made me forget all that toil, all the weariness, all the woundedness, all the circumstances, all those miserable circumstances. God hath made me forget. Look what else he forgot. He said, not only made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now you say, you mean he forgot his family? He forgot his dad? Forgot his brother? No. Not in the sense that he just forgot them. He's talking about all the ugly and mean things that his own family did to him. He's talking about those words and actions of hatred. Hey, can you live for a minute? Can you live through being 17 years old and having your brothers sell you to a bunch of nomad merchantmen on their way to Egypt? Can you live through that? Can you put yourself in that frame? Huh? Can you? There's 9 older brothers standing around. 9. Reuben's not there, and Benjamin's not there. Benjamin's younger. 9 of them. And they're going to sell Joseph to these merchantmen to take him to Egypt. He's 17 years old. He's old enough to know what's happening. Can you hear his screams? Can you hear his cries? Help me! Do something! Come on, Simeon! Come on, Judah! What are you doing, Dad? Come on, Asher! Do something! Can you hear this boy as they ride off on their camel train with going to Egypt, taking him away from home, family, country, his dad, all that he'd known as a child? Can you put yourself in that mind? I'm talking about, friend, this had to really crush Joseph. All that going on. all the things that were said. All the attitude of, yeah, you know what? You want him? You got 20 pieces of silver? 20 pieces of silver. For a brother? 20 pieces of silver? Just sell him away? What are you doing? All of these miserable circumstances, all of these mean people had caused Joseph a whole bag full of grief and misery, sorrow and tears. That's what comes with a bag full of bad stuff. It's weariness. It's sorrow. It's travail. It's trouble. It's tears. It's a broken heart. It's weeping. It's all grief. That's what comes with a bag full of bad stuff. It's not easy to understand how someone feels unless you've walked where they walk. I've tried to help people who have broken homes, who came out of broken homes. I've tried to help people who are in broken homes now. And friend, I want to tell you something. I didn't grow up in a broken home. I don't know what that's like. My mom and dad never threw the divorce word around in threatening talk to each other. I don't ever remember mom running home to her mother. I don't ever remember that. I remember night after 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 night and sitting down at a table at almost the same time every night with a dad at the head of the table and a mom across the table and my two brothers beside me. And I remember there were times of conflict. There were like every home has, but they were there. Dad didn't walk out. Mom didn't walk out. Mom didn't leave Dad for another man. Dad didn't leave Mom for another woman. There was none of that stuff in all those 18 years, night after night after night. I don't know what it's like to grow up in a broken home. I can try to feel for people who did. I can try to feel for people whose mom walked out on them, or feel for people whose dad walked out, or who other bad stuff that happens. Bad. So I'm 50 years of age. My wife, she's close to my age, amen. But and we just lost a month and a half ago the first parent. That's unusual. Just lost the first parent in death. And many of you are younger than me, and all the parents on both sides are gone. I try to feel and enter into the burden, the weariness, the sorrow, the heartbreak of what some of the people in this church, some of the kids in our school, some of the young people in the youth group, some of the kids that ride the buses, some of the moms, some of the dads, the heartache, the burden that they're having to bear, the weariness, the weeping. It's hard to do it if you haven't walked in their shoes. But I know I'm talking to people this morning who have a bag full of bad stuff. Some of it is not your own making. Maybe some of it is your own making. And I'm not sure Joseph was completely exempt because, he did have those dreams and he did tell his dad and his brother, hey, one of these days you're going to bow down and worship me. I don't think that went over real well with those older boys, amen. I don't think so. That type of talk usually doesn't go over good with older brothers and sisters, older brothers especially. But Joseph said, God, watch this, made me forget and made me fruitful. So before you get to be fruitful, you got to be forgetful. Right? Because who came first? Forgetfulness came first. Am I right? Yeah. Manasseh. Who came second? Ephraim. Fruitful. Now, how do you forget? If these are the steps that you got to take before you can enter into that fruitfulness, before you can give birth to fruitfulness, you got to give birth to forgetfulness. How do you forget, Brother Angel? You just wipe it out of your mind?
And I tell you something, you can't do that. You can't wipe stuff out of your mind. You can't wipe away taking a child to an early grave. You can't do that. You can't wipe away dad walking out. You can't wipe away mom working. And that's part of the problem with some of the psychiatrists that are out there. We're here. Just take this pill and just forget it. You can't do that. That's insanity. You can't do that. That's asking something of you that's impossible for you to do. Well, Joseph said he forgot. So if you can't just wipe it out of your mind, what's he mean by forgetting? If you got to give birth to forgetfulness before you give birth to fruitfulness, how do you forget? We don't get the answer of what really happened in Joseph's life until the very last chapter in the book of Genesis. Look at chapter 50. Turn over there, chapter 50. And look at verse number 15. Verse number 15. Now, dad is dead. Jacob is gone. And the boys, and Joseph and all the boys are down in the land of Egypt. Dad is dead. Look at verse number 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, do you hear what they said? Can you hear Simeon talking to Judah one day? Can you hear Judah and Issachar talking? Hey, fellas, you know what? This is not good. Dad's dead. And Joseph has been good to us and kind to us all these years while Dad was alive. But now Dad's gone. So you know what he's going to do. So they had in their heart and mind that Joseph is going to execute vengeance on them. He's going to drop the hammer. Look what it said in verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You know what they did? They said, Let's go talk to him. And they took a messenger in. They sent a messenger in. The messenger went in and said, Joseph, bow before him. He said, Look, before your daddy died, he sent me with a message. He gave me a message, wanted me to bring it to you after he died. Joseph said, What was that? He said, Your daddy wanted you to be sure and forgive all your brothers. And then the brothers came in before him. And they said, Joseph, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Look at verse 18. And his brethren also went, fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Forgive us. We'll serve you. We'll be your slaves. Whatever you want. Just don't kill us. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not. For am I in the place of God? Do you know it's God that executes vengeance, folks? It's God that takes revenge. It's God that evens the score. It's not up to us. Look at what he said in verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as if it is this day to save much people alive. They went in and bowed before Joseph and said, Please, Dad, ask that you forgive us. Please don't execute vengeance on us, Joseph. Please don't do that. Please be kind to us. We'll be your servants. And Joseph was flabbergasted. He said, What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He said, I'm not in the place of God. It's God that passes out revenge. It's God that passes out vengeance. It's God that does that. Joseph said, you know what in effect he was saying to his brothers? He's saying, fellas, hey, boys, listen to me. Man, I dropped all that stuff years ago. I let it go. I released it. You see, before you can give birth to fruitfulness, you've got to give birth to forgetfulness. And before you can give birth to forgetfulness, you've got to release it. You've got to have forgiveness in your heart. Let's say so, folks. Look, you can carry your bag of bad stuff the rest of your life, but you're never going to forget it. And it's going to keep you from being fruitful. Now, I know sometimes you preach to people, I don't know. I could give you specific names from 27 years, some you would know, some you would not know, of people that had a bag of bad stuff and have not released it. They've not released it. And they may be good people and sincere people, but they struggle in their life in every area, and they never cross the border into fruitfulness. Ever. And they want to blame it on this and blame it on that and blame it on this and blame it on my wife or blame it on my husband. It's his fault. That's not the problem. At some point in time, you've got to look at your bag of bad stuff. I'm talking to people sitting in this auditorium. You will not let go of your bag. You won't. And then so much is said so to my face. You're carrying your bag. And as long as you carry it, you're prevented from entering into that land of fruitfulness. You've got to look at what it is and say, it's not worth carrying this to keep me from that. I will tell you what forgiveness is, friend. You know what forgiveness is? Let me give you one word that sums up forgiveness. It's called release. Isn't that what God did when He saved us? Oh, yeah. He didn't say, well, I'm going to overlook it for a while, but one of these days, you're going to get your due. That's not God, friend. God took our sin, and boy, I mean, He released it. I'm released from the penalty of sin. Never will I have to go to hell and pay for my sin. I'm released from that penalty. Amen. Sure. And that's what has to happen to God's people. I really believe I know when this happened in Joseph's life. I really believe, and this is opinion, this is speculation, and you can't build anything on opinion or speculation. So this part of it, you can take it or leave it. I think it happened when those boys showed up down there in front of Joseph, and Joseph was the second in command, and they did not recognize him, but he recognized them. And boy, he held them at arm's bay. I'll tell you something. He caused them a little grief. He said, I'll fix you. Remember they got their bags of corn? And when they opened their bags of corn, all their money was in it? That came from Joseph. Remember how scared they were? Maybe Joseph's down there in Egypt thinking to himself, I was scared too. I was scared too when you sold me to those Ishmaelites. You go ahead and be a little scared. Remember how he put Simeon in jail? He put Simeon in jail for 3 days, his own brother. Yeah, I was in a pit too one time, pal. In fact, I was in the very same prison you're in because you sold me down here. But there came a point in time when they stood before him and Joseph's heart broke. And he had to excuse himself from their presence. And he wept and wept and wept and wept and wept. All that anger possibly, all that ugliness possibly, all that stuff coming out of his heart. Huh? And then he came back in front of his brethren and he said, come to me. Come near me. I'm Joseph. He hugged on them and loved them. I really believe that was his final release. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't undo what's in this bag. Oprah and Dr. Phil, and even in some cases, James Dobson, their little trickery and all that stuff, they want you just, and you can be, released, and you can get this out of your mind. You can't change what's in that bag. Can you? What's done is done. But you can change whether you carry it or release it. You know what happens when you release it? God steps in and He takes the sting. He takes the weariness. He takes the heaviness away. And instead of being in front of your face, where everywhere you turn and everywhere you go, that's all that you can really think about, now that you've released it, it's in the back of your mind. It's not, you're not staring it in the face all the time. And you can enter into that land of fruitfulness right where you are. You don't have to have a bigger paying job. You don't have to have a bigger house or a fancier car. But you have to come to the place where by God's grace, you let it go. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. How could you ask me to do that? I can ask you to do that the same way God did it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And we're done. Pardon my cough. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Say, how can I do that? Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, because we asked Him to, hath forgiven us. Is that what the Bible says? Even as God, because we earned it, hath forgiven us. Is that what God said? Even as God liked us so much that He forgave. Is that what it says? It says, even as God, what's the next three words? For Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. But Caleb, this is your bag of sin. It's your bag of sin, brother. And because of that bag of sin, you deserve to go to hell. But one day, as a young man, he knelt and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. He said, Lord, I trust You. I trust what You did on the cross, Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection, Your shed blood, to be all I need to get me to heaven. And God forgave him. But do you know why God forgave him? God did not forgive him because he deserved to be forgiven. God said, Brother Caleb, you can drop your bag, not because you deserve it, but because My Son went to that cross and gave His life, shed His blood, and paid that debt for you. I'll forgive you for His sake. Now, if God, and this could be anybody in this room this morning who's saved, if God can forgive us and all of our wickedness, if God can forgive us for Christ's sake, you reckon you can release your bag for Jesus' sake? You reckon you could drop your bag for Jesus' sake? But Brother Angel, they don't deserve it. Did you deserve it? It's not a matter of what they deserve. It's a matter that Jesus is worthy of every bit of us. And He wants us to be fruitful. Before I can be fruitful, I've got to be forgetful. And before I can be forgetful, I've got to release. I've got to forgive. Let it go. Let it go. You can. Let it go. Thank you. Do it for Jesus' sake. Do it for Jesus. Don't do it for the husband that walked out on you. Do it for Jesus. Don't do it for the wife that walked out on you. Do it for Jesus. Don't do it for the parents who abused you. Do it for Jesus. Do it for Christ. Prerequisites to fruitfulness, forgetfulness, and forgiveness. Some of you ought to come down to this altar this morning with your bag
And when you get down here, you ought to just kneel. Drop it. Say, Lord, I'm not going back to my seat. Carry in the bag. Your bag of bad stuff. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All I ask you to do is be honest. Follow the sweet, tender Spirit of God if He speaks to your heart. Brother Angel, God spoke to my heart this morning during the preaching. I've got a bag. Maybe you know about it, Pastor. Maybe you don't. I've got a bag of bad stuff. Or one item. But it's a bag I'm carrying. I need God's help in my life to release it. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the room. Well, God bless you. There's a lot of hands. Folks, I am convinced that people who don't release that bag not only have spiritual difficulties, but physical, emotional, and sometimes mental torment because they're carrying that bag. Now I'm going to tell you what's sad. What's sad is to make it a personal thing between the one who preaches the Word of God and yourself. I'm not going to let you move. I don't care if I move you or not. But if you shut down the work of the Holy Ghost, friend, you're not smart. Regardless of what you think of me. You lose a blessing because you're not going to, you don't want me to think I got through to you. It's not me getting through to anybody. I couldn't get through to a person much anymore than getting through a fence post. If there's something going on in your heart, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Don't shut Him down. Pastor, I should have raised my hand. I've got a bag. I'm carrying. Should have raised my hand. I didn't, but I'll raise it now. Pray for me. Somebody? Anybody else? I've got a bag. God bless you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Who's here this morning said, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, as a testimony of God's grace in saving you? Amen and amen. Put your hand down. Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. Really haven't thought about it until this morning. During the service, my heart's a little troubled. I'm not sure where my eternal destiny is. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Put it right up. Put it right back down. God bless you. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed with no one looking, sir. If you'd like to know for sure that you're saved, why don't you step out and come right now? Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Come right ahead if you want to. That'd be a blessing. We'll have somebody talk with you. Brother Caleb will meet you here and help you with that. God bless you. Who's here this morning? I've saved, Pastor, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not been baptized. Anybody like that here today? These teenage young ladies, God bless you. Anybody here that's visiting and has talked to us about becoming a member, and you visit with myself and Brother Caleb about that, the altar's always open for church membership. More so this morning, for people to come and leave a bag. Leave a bag of bad stuff. Leave it. Drop it at the altar. Say, God, I'm going to release it. I'm not sure I'm releasing it for the people or the circumstances that caused it, but I am releasing it for Christ's sake. He deserves a fruitful life. My dear Father, bless our hearts this morning. I pray that You'll please move in somebody's heart and life. And Lord, maybe we'll all need this message someday. Some even right now carrying bags of bad stuff. I pray that this altar will be the deposit place this morning for those bags. We'll thank You for Your help. Save anybody who's lost. Make our hearts tender in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. yourself. Disappointing God, this is good if you're down on yourself. Failures in the past. Don't carry that stuff in a bag around with you. God forgave you. Forgive yourself. Some other angels have wasted years and opportunities unknowing. If I wanted to carry that bag, I could. I could carry that bag. I don't. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity to serve God. A new opportunity for fruitfulness.